The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 225 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories at oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Cube in the Desert by Val. I'm writing this because I was listening to your podcast with my wife, and I wanted to tell you about one of the craziest paranormal encounters I have ever experienced. I truly believe it was some kind of stargate for interplanetary travel. I did not see any aliens myself, but I promise what I saw was not of this planet. I believe it was 2003-2004. I was driving with my ex-wife through the dark desert in Amboy, California, on our way to Laughlin for the weekend, when I suddenly felt an electric energy force I can't even describe, going through my truck and body. At that same moment, my dash began to short out, and my truck was acting strangely. Obviously, the first thing I thought was, what the hell? I have a new truck. How could the alternator and battery be giving me problems right now? I slowed down to about 50 miles per hour, and then, suddenly in the darkness of the desert, I noticed a floating transparent cube about 12 by 12 feet, just hovering there with strange translucent lights going through it. Then suddenly, it changed into a wall of all these colors that I've never seen in my life. I came to a complete stop to watch this phenomenon. As I sat in my truck, trying to comprehend what the hell this unearthly object was, it shaped back into a cube, rotated about 180 degrees, and I could feel that same buzzing energy force coming off it through the truck and through my body. At that moment, my ex-wife started screaming, "Go, go, go, now!" I assumed she saw something I didn't, maybe more. So I reached under my seat and grabbed my pistol, waiting for something to approach. She insisted we go right now and screamed again. So I pushed the pedal to the floor and tried to take off, but my truck did not move one inch. About 5 seconds later, my tires finally grabbed traction and I started to move. When we got to Laughlin, she could not enjoy herself at all. She was crying and scared and would not calm down. When it was time to go home, she insisted we take a different route and never drive through that area again. I spent hours convincing her it would be fine if we drove down that way during the daytime, and she finally agreed. I wanted to investigate the site to see if there were any burn marks, objects, lights, or any traces of what this could have been. But when we went through, there was nothing but a dried-up salt bed. The invisible force I felt is so hard to explain. The sighting I witnessed is just unfathomable. It had thousands of different colors, yet I could see through it like it was clear. I remember telling my family and friends about this crazy thing we saw, and I don't think anyone truly believed it. Until a few weeks later, while I was talking to an older woman about it, she said she had seen the same thing. She said on Highway 138, north of Silverwood Lake, in the 80s, she saw it. Everything I had described to her was exactly her experience, except the object had shape-shifted into a sphere. A door then opened, and she could see white beings standing inside of it. She sat there with her husband for about 2.5 minutes, watching it. Then the whole thing turned back into a cube with several colors, started spinning, and shot straight into the sky and vanished. Frank and the Alien, also by Val. My second story is about an old friend who is no longer with us. Back in 1997, I went to see a man outside of Barstow named Frank. A friend told me Frank had details about a lost gold mine I was trying to locate, so I went over to his place to see what kind of information he could give me. Frank had a homemade pond on his property that was really well done, with beautiful stones all around it. When I complimented him on it, he said, "You know, it's funny that you should mention it. While I was collecting these rocks for the pond, that's when I met him." "Who?" He said, "The alien that lives a few miles from here, in a cave." While collecting rocks, Frank noticed a man in a jumpsuit standing on the side of the mountain. Thinking he was a lost hiker, Frank approached and asked him if he needed help. The man looked human, but his eyes were different, and he had a big crease in his forehead. Frank offered him a 2-liter of soda from his ice chest. The mystery man took the bottle and gulped it down nonstop, without taking a breath or burping. Frank said this man had telepathy and could read his thoughts. He assured Frank he wasn't there to hurt anyone. The man told Frank to come back the next evening and to bring a pot with him. The next day, Frank returned with the pot. They walked up to the cave, sat down, and the man reached into his pocket and showed Frank a scroll from the U.S. government, stating he had permission to mine a certain mineral and that he was protected. They started a campfire and put the pot on the coals, then poured water into it. When the water boiled, the man reached into a pouch and sprinkled something that looked like dirt into the pot. Then he told Frank to stick his finger inside. "I ain't sticking my hand in that damn boiling water," Frank told him. So they let it cool. When it was cooler, the man flipped the pot upside down, and whatever he had sprinkled inside the boiling water had turned into a paper-thin metal the shape of the pot. Frank was fascinated. The man said, "You cannot penetrate this." So Frank took out his .44 Magnum, held the metal up with his left hand, and shot it point blank. The object just moved back and forth, but the bullet did not penetrate it. He tried stabbing it with a knife. It still wouldn't go through. Frank was blown away and continued talking to this being. He had the bright idea to take the piece of metal with him, without the being's knowledge. That night, Frank took the piece home and showed his wife. Around 4 a.m., he woke up to a blast, concussion grenades, and men in ski masks who tied him and his wife up, blindfolded them, and said, "If you want to live, tell us where the metal is." He gave it to them, and they warned him that if he ever discussed what happened, he would disappear. Frank was convinced the blacked-out vehicles were some kind of government entity. I asked why he told me this story after being threatened. He said he had cancer and only a few years to live, so it didn't matter anymore, and he wanted someone to know. I told him one day I would go check out that area. I have yet to do so. Frank passed in 2001. I still know where the place is, and I wasn't interested until I saw what I saw in 2003 or 2004. Anyhow, these are just a few stories I wanted to share. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed my stories.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Drift Theory, You Are Not Dreaming by Div MHT. I've put together a theory that explains a lot of the weird stuff that nobody can ever fully answer, like why we experience déjà vu, why some people randomly change overnight, why you feel like you've lived something before, or how people survive accidents that should have killed them. Maybe why people are in comas for years but look totally fine. Ghosts, dreams, sleep paralysis, and even Mandela effects. I think it's all one thing. I named this the consciousness drift theory. So here's how it works, and it starts with sleep. Sleep is weird. We have to do it, or our whole system crashes. Miss a night and you already feel off. Miss more, and things get blurry and unreal. But what's wild is, even though our body is just lying there, our brain is extremely active, especially during deep sleep. Now to the theory. When we sleep, our consciousness takes off from this earth and moves into another one, a version of reality that's almost the same but slightly different, maybe a parallel universe. The shift is based on the decisions that you've made, your mental state, and the direction in which your life is heading. Your body stays where it is, but your awareness, or your consciousness, does not. You wake up in a timeline that's just a step over from where you were yesterday. That's why sometimes things feel slightly off, like someone's personality changed, or a store name looks weird. It's subtle. Most people never notice it. But once you start paying attention, it's hard to unsee. Now that's where the Mandela effect comes in. As a quick side note, the Mandela effect is when a bunch of people remember something one way, but the current reality shows that it never happened like that, such as people remembering the Monopoly Man having a monocle, but apparently he never did, or people swearing that it was the Berenstain Bears with an E, not the Berenstain Bears with an A. Now here's the twist. What if it did happen that way, just not on this earth? According to the drift theory, when we sleep and our consciousness shifts into a slightly different version of reality, most things stay the same. But sometimes tiny details don't match, like movie lines that you swear were different, logos that look off, or even someone close to you acting unusual. It's a glitch. Not your memory messing up, but something you remember was true. Your memory realigns with the earth that you've drifted into. Most of the time, it's seamless. You wake up, go about your day, and everything feels normal enough. But sometimes things don't add up. Maybe you remember a logo differently, a line from a movie, or perhaps a historical fact. You swear it was one way, but everyone around you insists it was never that way. Here are some examples. You swear it's the Berenstain Bears growing up. You clearly remember the Monopoly Man having a monocle. The famous line, "Luke, I am your father," from Star Wars. Well, that was never the line. It's, "No, I am your father." The Fruit of the Loom logo has a cornucopia. People remember Febreze being spelled F-E-B-R-E-E-Z-E, or Skechers having a T in it. But that's all incorrect. Maybe Pikachu's tail having a black tip? Never did. Now, tie that into the theory. If you drifted into a nearby Earth where those tiny cultural details were always different, you'd never know unless you noticed the mismatch, because your memory realigns with the Earth you've drifted into. This is crazy, right? Well, let's talk about death. This is where drift theory overlaps with something called quantum immortality. The idea is basically this: you never actually experience your own death. From your point of view, you just keep going. So let's say you're in a car accident, God forbid, and in one version of Earth, you die instantly. That's it, your story ends there. But your consciousness doesn't. Just like sleep, it drifts to the version of reality where the accident did occur, but you barely survived. Maybe you wake up in a hospital confused, maybe with a few bruises, or maybe nothing happened at all and you just feel weird that day. To everyone on Earth where you died, you are gone. But you're not really gone, you've just shifted. Same with things like, you fell off a roof but somehow landed just right. You had a close call with a truck but it just missed you. You drank way too much one night and should have blacked out, but you woke up with no explanation, just a bounding headache. Kind of comforting and terrifying at the same time, right? Well, here's where things could get a bit darker. If drift theory explains what happens when your consciousness slips into a slightly different version of reality every night, then a coma is what happens when the jump gets stuck. Let's go back to the car accident example. In one universe, you died instantly. That timeline moves on without you. Someone grieves, someone buries you, and you're gone. But for you, consciousness never really dies. You drift into a version of Earth where you survived, maybe with some injuries, but you're in a hospital bed.
Sometimes the body doesn't fully let go. The heart's still beating. The brain activity is there. But your consciousness, just like in your sleep, leaves your body. You didn't die, but you didn't wake up either. That's a coma. This also kind of explains why some people in comas report wild dreams, full-blown alternative lives, or time distortions when they finally wake up. Years might have passed here, but for them, it felt like a few days or even a lifetime. It might be the consciousness wandering, trying to find the right earth to land back into. But that's kind of terrifying too, right? Well, let's talk about ghosts. They're more like glitches in dimensional layering. Here's one way to look at it. We live in what's basically a 3D plus one timeline, which has height, width, depth, and time. But our conscious experience is mostly linear. We only see the now. We can't step out of time or move backwards. So in some ways, we're kind of like 2D beings living inside a massive film reel, only ever aware of the current frame. Now imagine if there are beings or fragments of consciousness that aren't stuck like that. Maybe they slipped outside the reel, broke off, or are perhaps higher dimensional beings, like 4D or 5D. Kind of like if you watched ants on paper, but from above. It's why ghosts often appear in loops. Same hallway, same time, same behavior. Because they're just a replay of a timeline you're not in anymore. Or glitches. Now, if we keep drifting from Earth to Earth, then where did it all start? And where does it end? This is what I call origin point paradox. Consciousness doesn't move in a straight line from birth to death like we think it does. It isn't linear. It drifts sideways, forwards, backwards, in directions that we can't really measure. And every time it lands somewhere new, your memory just syncs up with the Earth's version of you. Picture this. Let's say you die of old age on some Earth, peacefully in your sleep, or even in a hospital bed. That should be the end, right? Maybe it's not. The shift still happens. Your consciousness jumps ahead, but this time instead of waking up the next morning, you wake up as a baby. Again, your memory realigns with the Earth you've drifted into. Or more accurately, your awareness drifts into a brand new Earth where a version of you is just being born. And this is where it gets wild because some kids claim they have memories of past lives, places they've never been, names they shouldn't know, entire situations that they could not have lived through in their current body. Timelines that you drift to are so close that only microscopic changes happen. Your memories sync during REM sleep, like a backup restore point. That's why only subtle dissonances remain. Mandela effects, deja vu, little things like that. And here's how the sleep cycles could line up with drift theory. 1. Light sleep, stage 1 and 2, in REM. Scientific side. This phase is where you're just dozing off. Your body relaxes and your breathing slows, but your brain waves start to change. The drift theory take is, this is where your anchor to this Earth starts loosening. You're still technically here, but the grip is weakening. Your awareness begins to untether from the current timeline. Then we have deep sleep, stage 3, in REM, slow wave sleep. Here's the scientific side. This is the heavy, dreamless part of sleep. Your body is doing its biggest recovery work. Cells repair, energy restores. You're completely offline. On the drift theory take, here, your body becomes a vessel, dormant, quiet. Your consciousness is no longer bound to the rules of this Earth. And finally, REM sleep, rapid eye movement. On the scientific side, this is where it gets really weird. Your brain lights up like you're awake, but this is the deepest stage of sleep. Dreams become vivid, emotions flood, and your body is paralyzed so that you don't act out your dreams. In the drift theory side of things, this is the launch. This is where your consciousness actually shifts, not to a random place, but to the version of Earth that best fits your mental state or your emotional path. Every night, the timeline slides subtly. Now here's a real mind bender. During deep sleep, especially stage 3 of non-REM sleep, your brain activity drops to its lowest point. Your heart rate slows down, breathing becomes shallow, and muscles go still. It's the closest we get to a system shutdown without actually dying. In fact, in both deep sleep and the early stages of clinical death, your conscious mind goes fully offline. Crazy, right? Here's some common questions. There's no proof. Isn't this just fantasy? Well, drift theory isn't scientific. It's a metaphysical lens, just like simulation theory or reincarnation. It's a way to explain the strangeness of human experience. If it feels true, maybe it is. Well, science already explains sleep. Sure, science explains how we sleep. REM stages, brainwaves, melatonin. But it doesn't fully explain why we sleep, why dreams feel like alternate realities, or why sleep deprivation breaks the mind. If sleep equals drifting, what happens when you don't sleep? You begin to fracture. Insomnia, madness, hallucinations, the symptoms of resisting sleep. You start breaking across timelines. Maybe that's why it's so hard to stay awake for more than 24 hours. What about death? Don't people die? Well, from your perspective, yes. But you only ever experience your own continuity. Others may die, but in their stream, they drift past death into new versions. Think quantum immortality. That's why you never experience death, only endless continuity. It's kind of scary, right? Well, in conclusion, none of this is proven. This is just a personal theory based on sleep cycles, quantum immortality, Mandela effects, and weird hunches that a lot of us already have but never really talk about. The idea is simple. Every time you sleep, you drift. Every time you die, you don't feel it, you shift. And maybe there was never only one you to begin with, but a stream of consciousness jumping from one universe to another. All right, I've laid out my version of drift theory. Now I want to hear yours. Does any part of this line up with how you've felt, dreamt, or sensed things work? Or maybe you can explain it in a better way. I need more ideas. Please share your version or add to it, because we're still missing things like dreams, sleep paralysis, and more. I'll respond if I'm still on Earth.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Long Night by Zion. About a year or so ago, I sent in a story called Haunting in the Willows amongst others, to odd trails, all of them about strange things I'd experienced as a child up to about my college years. The supernatural has always felt more harmful than anything else to me, and I honestly hoped I was done with it. But here I am again with another experience, and for me, this one's the scariest of all. It happened some weeks ago. I can't say exactly when, but it's still burned into my mind like it happened 2 seconds ago. For some context, I'm now married to a wonderful wife, and we have 3 young kids, a boy and 2 baby girls. This experience was so scary for me because, unfortunately, it involved one of my children, my 3-year-old son. It all started one regular evening when we were driving home after a night out, when I noticed what I can only describe as a light in the sky. It looked unusually close, way too close to be a large aircraft, but still just far enough away that I couldn't make out its shape with my naked eyes. What made it even stranger was that the light stayed in view the whole way home, almost like it was following us. When we finally pulled into our driveway, I stepped out of the car to listen and see if maybe it was a drone. But no. No engine noise, no rotors, nothing. Just silence and that bright light hanging in the sky. Up to this point, I kept quiet because I didn't know what I was looking at and didn't want to think it was all that special. But right as I was about to point it out to my wife, the light blinked out, like someone shut off a flashlight. I continued to tell her what I saw anyway, despite its seemingly convenient absence. She said, "That's strange. I wish you would have said something earlier so I could have seen it." Then she took the kids inside. I replied under my breath, "Yeah, me too," as I searched a little longer, but the light didn't come back, so I gave up and went inside as well. Later that night, around, yep, you guessed it, 3 in the morning, I woke up to a single knock. I'm a light sleeper, so my eyes snapped open and I sat up, scanning the room. My wife was still asleep. I was about to lay back down, after seeing nothing and chalking it up to maybe my imagination. But then came another bump, louder this time, like someone trying to get my attention. It sounded like someone had kicked my wife's nightstand. I turned my head to the sound, and that's when my eyes landed on the baby monitor sitting there. What I saw on my son's screen still makes my skin crawl. I believe in spiritual things, but I'm also a hard believer in skepticism and scientific methods of reasoning. My instinct is always to look for logical explanations first. In this case, logic failed me. On the monitor was something I can only describe as demonic. It was human-like, long-limbed, pale, and unnaturally thin. Its all-black eyes glowed with the reflection of the nightlight in the room. Its fingers were long with sharp claws, and its ears were pointed. It almost looked cheesy. It reminded me a lot of the classic Nosferatu, or maybe the vampire from Voyage of the Demeter, only without wings. It was sitting beside my son's bed, legs tucked up, arms wrapped around its knees, rocking back and forth, staring at him. I know what people are going to say: sleep paralysis, a waking nightmare, a hallucination. But I wasn't paralyzed. I was fully awake, moving freely, and had been snapped out of sleep by those loud, unexplained knocks. I rubbed my eyes, blinked 3 times, and even put on my glasses, and the thing was still there. Then I was struck with real panic. after the initial shock and confusion started to wear off, it finally hit me. Something was in the room with my baby boy. I jumped out of bed and yelled at my wife to wake up and get the girls. She sat up, groggy, asking what was wrong, but I didn't stop to explain. I grabbed my baseball bat and ran into my son's room, cursing and ready to fight for my family. As I burst into my son's room, I flipped on the light and... nothing. My son sat up, rubbing his eyes. "What, Daddy?" he asked. I searched the whole room, the closet, the windows. Everything was normal. I told him, "Nothing, son. Sorry I woke you." Then turned off the light and let him go back to sleep. My wife had come out at this point and asked what in the world was going on. I told her what I had seen. She said she believed that I believed it, but she also thought nothing really had been there. She figured I was dreaming or mistaken. That frustrated me, but I understood. I even wished she was right. But I know what I saw, and something was rocking in that room, staring at my child. I checked the rest of the house top to bottom, and of course I never went back to sleep. I just accepted it would be a long night. Being a Christian, I stayed up, praying for hours, asking God to protect my family. The next morning, once my wife had left with the kids to run errands, I capitalized on the solitude and blasted Christian music throughout the house on our speakers. I grabbed some olive oil. I started praying, and as I prayed, I walked through each room, marking crosses on doors, windows, and hall entryways. I finished at the front door, pouring oil on the threshold and drawing a cross on the top frame. My mom taught me that ritual when I was a kid, and we were going through our past paranormal stuff. It's basically the Christian version of smudging, meant to drive out anything evil by filling the house with the Holy Spirit. Whether the ritual worked or I did just have a vivid hallucination, I can't say. What I do know is that I haven't seen that thing since, and nothing strange has happened after that. I still wonder what that knocking was. Thinking back, it almost felt like something was trying to help me by showing me what was in my son's room. I don't know anything for sure. I just pray this is the end of it. More than anything, I'd like my life to be normal.
I had a dream that I went to the far, far future by Little Space Mochi. About a year ago, I had a dream that felt incredibly vivid and real. In this dream, I wasn't myself. I wasn't in my current body or life. Instead, I found myself in a far future world where major cities were submerged underwater and others had been reclaimed by nature or eroded beyond recognition. The sense of time was distorted, but it felt like thousands and thousands of years had passed. In this future, humanity had evolved into a different form. They were smarter, wiser, and more advanced than we are today. While they still spoke English, they also communicated through telepathy. What struck me was their fascination with their ancestors, us, in the present time. They marveled at our old cities, much like we might react to discovering ancient dinosaur fossils. Their cities were unlike anything I've ever seen. They were crystal-like, shiny, clean, and beautiful, with a sense of sacred geometry in their design. There weren't any jobs or constraints. People were free to explore, eat, and live as they pleased. I found it intriguing that someone had tried to restrict my movements, but I managed to escape and evade capture. The technology in this future was astounding. Their vehicles were more like spacecraft, capable of traversing land, air, and water with ease. What impressed me the most, however, was their approach to conflict resolution. They had developed ways to calm situations without resorting to force, unless absolutely necessary. One moment in the dream has stuck with me, though. I was standing with someone, looking out at the ocean, and they pointed out the location of ancient New York City now submerged underwater. The Statue of Liberty was still there, but hidden beneath the waves. Above it, the future humans had built a massive beacon, a testament to the city's past existence. It was enormous, and I was struck by their interest in preserving the history of our civilization. What I found particularly notable was the significant decrease in population. While we have 8 billion people today, the future world seemed to have a population of around 1 billion, maybe even less. Despite this, they did seem to be thriving, living in harmony with their environment and each other. The dream left a lasting impression on me, and I often find myself wondering about the possibilities of such a future.
The Phantom Dogfight by Philip DeWalt. The story in episode 193, about the people experiencing sudden loud growling in their kitchen, stirred a memory from decades ago that I had totally forgotten about. This was sometime in the mid-90s. We were living in our second house, somewhere out in the boonies near Smithville, Missouri. There weren't any previous owners, as the house was newly built for us. We had never noticed any kind of out-of-the-ordinary supernatural activity in or around the house. It was late at night, sometime between midnight and 2 a.m. I was downstairs in my music studio, working on something or other. My back was to the open studio door, which led into a large family room that curved around to some steps that went upstairs. I was in the middle of something, when suddenly, I heard what sounded like fighting dogs. Boisterous, angry growls. This was followed shortly by a loud bang, as if something had been knocked over. I jumped up and started cursing. All of this sounded like it came from the bottom of the stairs, around the corner of the family room. We had a Jack Russell Terrier at the time, Sterling, and I assumed this was him somehow. I rushed around the corner to the stairs, and nothing. No dog, nothing knocked over. I ran upstairs. My wife was asleep. The bang should have awakened her, but it didn't. I ran up to the top floor to see my son was asleep, and Sterling was sleeping next to him. I don't know what it was, but it never happened again. I always assumed a place had to have been lived in at least a little before it could develop any kind of supernatural activity. The house was newly built on freshly developed land. Could that have been it?
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our 200th episode of Odd Trails. I didn't think we would make it this far. In fact, I had no expectations whatsoever. I was just excited to be able to do something with you.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. It's really cool to hit these milestones, something to look forward to, and quite a long episode too, which is pretty awesome. I'm sure this outro is going to go for quite some length. I'm really excited to talk about these stories, and it just so happened that we got some good submissions for this centennial. What word am I looking for? We're not doing this.
Ask the listeners.
yeah. Mispronouncing words and all that, using the wrong words. But hey, you know, that's just part of the game for episode 200. It's how we celebrate.
Never miss a week, man. Never miss a week.
Nope.
Before we get into the stories, I'll do my usual listener questions and comments. Most of these are from Spotify. I'll try and make my way through them as quickly as possible. First off, 2 days ago, we have one from Hannah that says, regarding the folktales, I recently finished Hag, Forgotten Folktales Retold, and it was really interesting. Bonus points for Sophie Hollington's amazing cover art. They are modern retellings, but the original stories are in the back of the book too. I'm putting that on my list as the next thing to pick up for fiction. I guess fiction, nonfiction, subgenre. Sounds good to me, though. I love a good folktale. Parker from 3 days ago says, Sabrina and Corinne from Two Girls, One Ghost did an episode covering telepathy tapes. It was fascinating. Yeah, we talked about that. It was a recommendation from one of the listeners on either the last episode or the episode before. It's a documentary podcast series called Telepathy Tapes. I haven't checked it out yet, but definitely will. And then Tara Roberts says, thank you for choosing my story in this episode. I got to say, it adds a whole extra layer of creepy hearing somebody else tell it. I've been told that before, that it's weird hearing somebody else tell your story or narrate it, something that happened to you. I can only imagine how some of these listeners must feel having two dorks like us tell their stories.
It could be similar to seeing yourself portrayed in like a biography movie or something like that. Like, that can't feel comfortable.
No, not at all. I would assume uncanny and weird.
Yeah.
We have another one from Noir AMH. Hey, I'm the OP of the Lachine House story. Loved that one.
Hey.
Yeah. I spoke to my parents and they told me some of the history of the house. A woman did indeed die in the house.
There you go.
And people end up getting very sick or passing away by their own hand in that house. My dad told me that they found metal rods buried in the ground on the property. So all in all, very weird house. Yeah, super weird house.
Wow, I like that. Some divination rods type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What are those called? I forget what those are. Dowsing rods?
Yeah, I think dowsing rods, yeah.
Yeah.
Sinoni mouse? Hope I'm saying that right. The Hat Man, not sleep paralysis story, is giving spirit guide, to be honest. And this is new lingo that you and I are still getting used to.
Yep.
So I think that means it's reminding them of a spirit guide. So religions that conceptualize reincarnation, one's new path in life, may not be a physical form, but an ethereal one, where your purpose is to act as a guide or a guardian. So theory number one, the dream that the writer described was a look into the past, one where the Hat Man wronged the writer in some way, and he was put to death for his act, and instead of physically reincarnating, he was bound to her as a guide slash guardian to redeem his soul. So I guess that's their punishment. They have to be the hat man, but they're a spirit guide hat man for the person who's having these experiences. That's an interesting thought, a good theory.
Just took on the hat man's body for whatever reason, but a better being exists within him.
Yeah, but with these types of stories, I really like how there are so many different theories and people have so many different experiences about what does happen when we die. And it seems like it's limitless. We have no idea, but at the same time, we have a bunch of ideas. That's one of my favorite things about the podcast, theorizing.
Oh yeah, always, because theorizing can never really be wrong, because that's exactly what it is, theorizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last one we have here is from Victoria in Discord. Listening to the outro of episode 198, The Hat Man, what if it's not the Hat Man, but many Hat Men? This is actually something we were talking about. Like, sure, a lot of them are irritating and all grr, sleep paralysis. But, you know, you have the ones who are kind of guardians, and they're like the Hat Man version of that one shark in Shark Tale. The Will Smith as a fish movie.
Oh, yeah.
The one that wants to be vegetarian. I don't think I ever saw Shark Tale, did you?
Maybe, but it's obviously pretty forgettable for me.
Yeah.
Sorry for any Shark Tale fans.
I know visually it's pretty awful. I've seen some clips of it, but no, I haven't checked that one out. And yeah, there we go. Another theory. Love the theories. Good stuff this week, guys. Thanks for writing in. Let's get into our stories this week, though.
Yeah, I am really excited to talk about, well, all of them, really. Like I already said, the stories are really good this week, and particularly the double feature that we got from Val.
Mm-hmm.
We usually don't separate stories sent as one submission, but I felt like these each deserve some time to breathe on their own. It was actually sent in by Val's wife. She was apparently listening to the show, and he kind of perked up and said, hey, I should write in about my stories, and here we are. I don't really get desensitized much, but these ones I felt were really scary and suspenseful in a way. I love them, even though they're like, let's be real, a little bit sensationalized to some people, but
mm-hmm.
weirder things have happened, like actually. So, you know, we're just going to take things at face value like we do best and roll with it, because I really like these ones and they actually left an impression on me.
Yeah, I really like the high concept stuff that's not just your usual haunting or your usual alien abduction or encounter. I really like when stuff, it goes beyond anything that we've heard. And yeah, high concept, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And that's definitely what's going on with Val's stories.
Yeah, yeah, we do have the whole alien thing, but like something about it was just really compelling in the sense that, well, I guess the transparent cube itself, that the image I had in my head was just beautiful. And we don't really have drone shows, or we didn't have drone shows, rather, back in 2003, as far as I know.
No, no.
Yeah, I mean, we might think it could be some sort of electromagnetic or natural phenomena, but I say no way. I don't think so. Whatever it was, well, apparently it may have been aliens from the 80s coming back after he talked to that woman that he met who saw the same thing.
Yeah, and it shifted into this door revealing white beings inside before it shot into the sky. Like, that's something straight out of a 1980s fiction novel. I really liked it.
I was thinking of E.T. when he was all pale and dying.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else made me think of E.T. was the chugging the whole 2 liter of Pepsi.
yeah, it was Pepsi, you're right. I think I said soda when I recorded it, because I didn't want to give PepsiCo any free advertising,
but yeah, hey, I saw that.
Oh man, I wonder if the cube could have been some sort of like interdimensional portal.
I think so. I mean, it turns into a door, and then you've got these beings on the other side. Who knows what this thing could be? It's probably just some kind of energy, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, enough energy to stop the truck and flow through his body. I do wonder why Val didn't see the beings, though. Maybe he wasn't selected. He wasn't predestined or whatever. I don't know how they make up their mind to do these things, but whatever the case may be, he had an encounter. So really, really cool. I guess we should just move on to his second story because this is going to run long. And I know some people say they love hearing us chat and blabber, but some people give us 3 stars for it. So like that matters. But Frank and the Alien, that one was... All I could really think of was Element 115 with the Bob Lazar, that whole situation, which, by the way, like, unfortunately, that seems to have been debunked. I swear we talked about it before, but it was actually, I can't think of the word, but it was made or whatever in like 2003-ish or something. And it's called Muscovium, and it has none of the properties that Bob Lazar claims that it had. Like, it's super radioactive and breaks down easily, and it's not firm or whatever word I'm trying to say. And it's unfortunate. So maybe Bob Lazar was just a plant to kind of throw us off our tracks.
Yeah, I go back and forth about Bob Lazar, but this kind of feels like they're trying to cover something up. Like, he was disclosing something they didn't want anyone to know about, so they, you know, this is their way of explaining it away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or like, maybe they didn't actually synthesize it. Hey, there's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
it wasn't actually synthesized, but they just had some sort of black ops operation to claim that they did, just to discredit him. There we go.
When Frank shot the metal like point blank with his magnum and then like stabbed it with a knife and nothing was penetrating it, it gave me a flashback of our contractor. We're having our kitchen remodeled. Actually, they just finished it up. And when he came by to show us the cabinets that they were going to be refacing, like the doors for the cabinets that they were going to be refacing, like the material, he's like, this is indestructible. You cannot break it with anything. And we're just having a conversation in our kitchen, you know, me and my wife and this guy. And he picks it up and he gets his big metal tape measure and starts banging it as hard as he can on it, like sending this ringing noise throughout the whole house. The dogs are going crazy in the back. Like, he just keeps banging on it and banging on it, trying to make a mark. And it felt like a Billy Mays, you know, infomercial, like, nothing can break this material.
I was once in a corner store that sold all sorts of goodies, and I was purchasing a tobacco pipe at the time, and he goes, this one's really good, to give you good price, it will not break. And he picked it up and just like threw it on the ground, like his like weird like carpeted thing that was probably over some like squishy fiberboard type of situation. And like, wow, lo and behold, it did not break. And yeah, I don't know. Or we also have like the Tesla situation with like the Cybertruck window breaking. Like,
yeah, that was so funny.
Yeah.
I love when that stuff happens. It's beautiful. Beautiful moment.
Beautiful indeed. What else we got here about Frank and the Alien? I don't really know what else there really is to say. I am glad that his friend did decide to tell Val about it. And I do think that he should go visit the cave. And if you won't tell us where it is, I'm down to go.
I don't think I want anything to do with it, as he was raided, you know, in the middle of the night by those dudes with ski masks.
He got swatted.
Yeah, he got swatted with concussion grenades. I don't even know what those actually are, but that sounds really scary.
I think it's just something that's so loud and so blinding with how bright it is, it kind of concusses you momentarily. I don't know either.
Yeah,
never
kind of
been
like
hit by one.
Overpowered flashbang.
Yeah. Have you seen those, like, the sound grenade or sound cannons that they have for like crowd control?
Yeah, that's
those
kind of
are scary.
It's like a direct energy weapon, basically.
It's like that forbidden tone in South Park that makes everybody crap their pants.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to my drift theory story. And in fact,
yes,
I only did 2 stories this week because this one went so long, but it really connects with the dream story. And this episode, I just decided to go full on metaphysical with the stories that I selected. This one was very cool because it's a whole theory. Like, this guy wrote out a whole thesis basically on his theory about how we drift between different timelines or different universes, different Earths. And when we dream, that's somehow connected to that. And I've always been of the thought that when we're dreaming, it's not just stuff going on in our head. We're not just working things out like a lot of psychology tells us. And sure, there's a lot of research to do with that. But at the same time, the research about dreams and what they mean, that's all just theory too. We don't understand anything about dreams. We just have theories. There's no hard science about what dreams are or why we dream. We just have theories. And this is just another theory, which was really well thought out and really well written. And they say that they can explain, you know, deja vu, Mandela effect, things like that. And it totally makes sense. Like if somebody were to demonstrate this to me at a convention during like a keynote speaker session, I would be like, hey, this is pretty good. I'm going to buy this guy's book. It was so well written and so well thought out. So thank you for writing that. I really loved this story.
It was great. I was on board with everything besides maybe the comas being consciousness being stuck between Earths. That to me is a little bit
Yeah.
But everything else is, I think, plausible, if not probable, dare I say.
Mm-hmm. But everything else, very, very, very plausible, super believable. And then, you know, that leads into the dream story that we had from Little Space Mochi about the far, far future. And it's almost like they used their dreams to shift or drift, like it says in the theory, to a future timeline where there's only 1 billion people on Earth and New York City's underwater and everything's very futuristic. And what I thought was really interesting was this was the future, but sadly, we seem to be drifting further in the opposite direction of this peaceful, spiritually integrated future that they dreamed about. Everything just seems to get worse and worse and worse. And it makes me wonder if we ultimately have to go through what we're going through right now with all of the wars and the shootings and these once in a lifetime pandemics. And just, we've just been through some shit in the last couple of decades. And it makes me wonder if this is sort of like us, something we have to go through in order to get to this type of future reality that this person dreamed about.
Oh, we're for sure approaching a societal collapse. And
yeah,
that's not even to sound all doomsday or theoretical.
No, yeah, that's not even theoretical. That's just, everything's plotted out perfectly for the fall of Rome. Like, we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do like the imagery of the dream. It's kind of like this blend of technology and spirituality instead of like everything being so materialist focused, kind of this unconscious archetype about how human survival could be.
I liked how they had this way of calming themselves down when they get into some kind of altercation. I forget how they described it exactly, but they don't really fight or have battles or get into arguments. It's like they have a way of controlling their anger in the future that we don't have, like an ability that we just haven't been able to access yet.
Maybe we evolve out of it.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to evolve out of that because I'm so tired of losing my temper over stupid shit and lashing out. It seems like as I get older, I get crankier and my anger problems just get worse and worse. And I'm ready to evolve, man. I'm ready to switch to my Raichu form.
Well, we love our little hothead Andy Tate.
God, I'm such a hothead. I hate it. Well, and it's so embarrassing when I'm done, when I'll be like in here yelling at my computer, screaming because there's a fly while in my office while I'm trying to record. And then afterwards, I have to like apologize to my wife. Like, I'm so sorry. I was acting like a child just a moment ago.
Before you said computer, my brain had filled in wife and like my jaw dropped. I don't know if you saw that, but I was like, you yell at her? Like, no, what? Who no. are you?
I don't think I've ever yelled at her.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Speaking of yelling, how about that phantom dog fight from Philip? Which, by the way, Philip was one of two people who submitted two stories, or one of two people who had submitted a story previously on the show. So that's another cool little fun fact about this episode.
Yeah,
Zion's Long Night story. I forget which story that Zion sent in, forgive me, but it was kind of cool to see a familiar name.
Yeah.
What I did like about Philip's story, besides the obvious, is how much it reminded me of something that happened to me. And I think I've shared it on here. I'm pretty sure I told you, but if not, I'm going to tell it again. But the setup was very similar. And if I hadn't shared it before, that makes this even more kind of like, ooh, wow, what a coincidence. But
yeah,
It was around like the same time between midnight or 2 a.m, maybe a little bit later actually, and I was where I am right now, downstairs in my office recording, and the door to my office was open, and then it leads directly to the stairs, very short stairwell, maybe like 8 steps, and that goes into the family room. Mm. And right at like the top of the stairs, I heard super distinctly the sound of giggling, like child's laughter, like chuckling, playing ball out in the yard,
yeah,
that type of thing. Kind of like that sound clip that you hear everywhere, the
yeah,
kind of like that. And I heard it clear as day, and I wasn't listening to anything. It was completely silent. I think I was like editing stories or reading submissions, something like that, but it was quiet. And then I just kind of like paused like 3 seconds later. I was like, wait, did I just hear that? And I for sure heard that. And then I did the same thing. I investigated and not a creature was stirring. yeah, very, very similar.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I have heard like marching above my head where the kitchen is when nobody else has been up and awake or rummaging and no pets,
yeah,
anything like that. But those are like the only two things that have really occurred here.
We've got a little bit older of a house, right?
2000-ish.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, mine was built in like 85. So I should have more ghosts than you. What the hell?
What the hell? He's got a ghost and I don't. I've heard so many people just like say, oh, what the hell? My brain automatically fills in. He's got a bush and I just can't take them seriously.
Yeah. When somebody says, actually, I like... Or actually, I'd rather, I automatically just think of Haunted House and Club Aqua.
Mm-hmm.
I can't not do it. And as soon as they're done saying whatever, like, actually, I'd rather go to Haunted House than Club Aqua. If you want to get our references, because I feel like we've referenced Tim Robinson in probably every outro at some point, check out I Think You Should Leave on Netflix. Or, you know, I'm not going to say pirate it, but, you know.
Yeah, obtain it somehow, however you choose to. That's your choice.
Yeah, so you can understand all of our references.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can move on over to Zion's story. So this is another UFO type of situation. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not too sure as to whether or not that light that he saw in the sky was connected to what happened later on in the house.
Oh, God.
Could just be a coincidence, but
so
scary
creepy.
Regardless. Yeah, yeah. The baby monitor, though, seeing that demonic figure just like rocking, no.
Yeah. Whenever, and this is a trope that happens in horror movies that scares me the most. Whenever somebody sees something on a screen, like a ghost or a demon or something, that is so much more creepy than seeing it like in the scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And do we trust the screen or our own eyes? I guess we're using our eyes to see the screen, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like the knocks that he heard, I do wonder if sometimes those knocks could be protective rather than something malevolent. You know what I mean? Like it warned him enough to go check in on his son. So yeah, I guess kind of like the Hat Man thing or whatever the theory that we had with how different entities can take on the physical form of existing things.
Yeah.
So maybe the knocks could just be universal or it could be like a tool. It depends how you use it.
Yeah, it totally depends. I agree. It's, again, the intent, just like everything else.
Just like his oil and prayer and all that, the intent's there. It's not exactly the same as smudging with sage that we talked about, but
yeah,
it's all the same intent.
You know, I was doing a episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid recently with the guys from D-Grads. Mike Lobel, who played the character of Jay on Degrassi, he was telling me that he has an actual Pazuzu demon statue, like a real one from The Exorcist, because The Exorcist is based on the demon Pazuzu. He has a real one in his house, and as soon as he brought it home, all kinds of creepy things started happening, and he just kept it. He just keeps this demon doll in his house.
Hey, that's a good story, I guess. A good table talk or whatever I'm trying to say. Like, you know, you put like books on a coffee table. Conversation piece. There we go.
A coffee table book about coffee tables. Yeah. Well, hey, this is a great episode. 200 episodes. I'm so proud of us. Give yourself a pat on the back. Let's both do it.
Oh, yeah. Pat, pat, pat.
Feels good. Yeah. Well, 200 episodes of stories. We still have plenty more to go. If you've got your story you want to share on the podcast, send it to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for a Patreon. We have a Patreon now where you can get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. If you want to support the show, go over to patreon.com/oddtrails and be sure to check out the new episodes of all my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and, you know, all that other junk at crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you guys next week for episode 201. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.